You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! Can you understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
Oh, welcome, Shaquille Jessa.
How are you?
The queen of Port Moody.
not Port Moody. Yes.
So welcome, Shaq, to Not My First Schmodio. That's my working title.
That's actually a really good
title. It makes no sense. I'm bad at naming things. That was actually Dora's idea, and I kind of, it's funny, but it doesn't really tell you what this radio show is. Okay, so I just want to start off by, to our ones of listeners, I would like to introduce Shaq. So tell us about yourself and what you do in comedy.
Yeah, my name is Shaq. I use he, him pronouns. I am a writer, director, and actor and comedian from Vancouver. I've been born and raised here. I do a little bit of stand-up. I do a little bit of improv. Recently, I've been working more into scripted work, so like longer form scripted works. I kind of moved from stand-up to improv to sketch to like pilots. Mm-hmm. So I like did my... I went small to large. I went from let me make shit up to let me have everything planned out to a T. Mm-hmm. And I really love almond milk.
Okay. I like cow's milk.
Straight from the udder.
Mm-hmm. Straight from the teat.
Not the teat.
If I could make my own milk, I'd drink that.
Squirt, squirt.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, how did you get into comedy? Like, how did you first become interested in it?
Mm-hmm. I have always loved comedy. My dad and I, we used to sit up every Saturday night and watch Saturday Night Live together. And it was, like, the only time I could stay up past my bedtime.
Wow.
And so I grew up watching, like, Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and Fred Armisen and then Cecily Strong, Kate McKinnon, all these, like, comedy icons and absolute legends. And seeing the power that a person has to make someone laugh is just absolutely beautiful. And I really want to be able to share that with the world.
That's amazing. Who was your dad's era? Like, who were his people when he was watching when he first started?
I want to say, oh my god, he's iconic, and I forgot his name. And
Chris Farley.
No,
men love Chris Farley.
Men do love Chris Farley. Well, my dad's era was Russell Peters. That was actually a complete lie.
Russell Peters is, like, younger than...
I know. No, but my comedic awakening was actually Russell Peters.
Right.
And it was my dad and my mom went to go see Russell Peters, and I wasn't allowed to even, like, watch his stuff, because apparently it, like, got a little racy for a 10-year-old. And
not hard to do.
I wanted to go to that show so badly. While they were out, I was Googling YouTube videos of Russell Peters' performances, and I would memorize them. Yeah. And then I just started repeating them around the house, and my parents got so mad at me
because adorable.
I was repeating them.
That's an amazing story. I hope you meet him one day.
I hope so, too. You know, on, like, IMDb, I don't know if you have IMDb Pro, but you can, like, see how far away you are from a person.
What?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, if I worked on this show, and this person was, like, a focus puller on this show, but also worked as a focus
puller. Oh, I thought you meant
puller.
Geographically.
Oh.
I was like, what celebrity would sign up for that?
It's like IMDb meets Grindr.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like,
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, who needs an actor right now? Who's the closest one? That's what I thought you were saying. Okay, but you mean, like how many projects removed?
Yes,
sort
that
of thing,
very right? that. That's, like, cousins removed energy.
Yeah,
projects removed.
Totally.
I love that. And I actually also, another very niche comedy awakening was Melissa Villaseñor's America's Got Talent audition.
Really? That is niche.
It's very niche.
Her impression, her Natalie Portman impression.
Her Natalie Portman impression, her Sarah Silverman impression. Mm. I remember doing that in my grade 4 classroom and doing that as my grade 4 talent shows. I actually memorized her, not AGT audition at that point. I auditioned with her AGT audition, and then I... for the actual talent show, I did her semifinals performance.
Okay, can you memorized. Do a little bit?
I do remember one bit, and she's like, I can't remember who she is, but I think she's Sarah Silverman. She's like in the car, she's driving, and she sees someone who's on their phone. So she reaches for her phone, and she goes on their phone, and she's like, yo, cops, there's a crazy lady driving with her phone on. Yeah, she's like right in front of me. What am I doing? Driving. It was so dumb.
I literally thought Sarah Silverman just walked in here. What an incredible impression.
Please welcome your next guest.
Sarah Silverman. I go from you to Sarah Silverman.
Imagine. Wow, the downgrade. I'm just kidding.
No, but for real, though.
No, but for real. You know,
no, but she's a Jewish queen.
You know how you said ones of listeners?
Yeah.
It's actually Sarah
Silverman. It's Sarah Silverman. She can't wait for this to drop.
She can't.
She can't. You know her sister's a rabbi?
No.
My parents can't stop telling me that. They love that.
That's a good, like, trivia fact to pull out.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh my God, I love okay. that.
So we really bonded over Mindy Kaling.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you can tell me what was your introduction to her?
My introduction to Mindy was the Mindy Project, actually. I skipped the Office generation mm-hmm. because I... My parents were not Office people. My parents were Friends people. Mm. So in terms, as of mitosis, I was also Friends person
totally.
Until I discovered the Office, and now I'm an Office person, I think. But, yeah, it was the Mindy Project. My mom really loved the Mindy Project. She'd have it on, and I just saw someone that looked like my mom on TV. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. Like they're very similar energies, like very similar in terms of, like, professional – like working people with kids, balancing life. And I just saw my mom watch that show and see herself. And I was like, this is so cool. This
so
is
powerful.
Such a cool show. And then Never Have I Ever dropped. And that just absolutely just changed my whole perception of what teen television could be. And that was my intro into the writing world, was seeing Never Have I Ever happen and being like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Mindy created an incredible story with an incredible Canadian actress.
Yes. And that was such a win, by the way.
Huge
Everyone
win.
In Canada was like, I know her.
And I love her.
And we love her.
I have literally, I'm a little scared to say this because, again, ones of listeners, what if my Trey Ramakrishnan is your one listener? I have a framed picture of her above my bed, of her Time magazine cover, because that's like what I want to be on the cover of Time, like one day. That's just like my goal, and it's always been. And I
of Time magazine,
Time like the Time Next 100 or
yeah.
whatever.
Why? Oh, Next 100. Yeah.
And it's just such a great publication. And I saw that picture of her, and I was like, that's gonna be me one day. We're also gonna be best friends one day.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's amazing. Her
what was
also.
Your introduction to Mindy Kaling.
My introduction was the Mindy Project was on Netflix when Ooh. Summer after grade 7. And I started watching it, and it was literally hilarious. And so I related to her in ways that this person seemed to be obsessed with pop culture. And I felt like I was the only one who knew about Saturday Night Live, or like the only one who like knew about certain things, because no one in my circle, other than like my parents, like no one in my community was really into that, the stuff that I was into, which was a lot of pop culture focused. Mm-hmm. So Mindy was so funny. And she farted a lot. And I was like, I knew that. And also, she was always making these pop culture references. And that was really where I was like, oh, like, I really relate to that.
Yeah.
Like, being really obsessed with this thing, being really interested in this thing, following this thing so intently. And also, just, like, her being a woman in comedy. Like,
yes.
Obviously, that's always going to be the thing that you feel so connected to. And she was also just, like, really into being, like, girly and glam. And she, like, liked – she had all these awesome outfits. But overall, the content was just so funny. It
right.
was just so funny. And I watched it with my mom. And you know the feeling of, like, showing your mom something and it's so funny. And, like, that satisfaction of you being the one to show her that thing that made her laugh. So I think that was also the connection Aww. To it, is we, like, loved it together. And, like, I also just have such a high opinion of my mom's, like critic ability.
Mm-hmm.
So when she loved it, I was like, I also loved it. But it was also this thing of like, if you made something my mom likes, then I know it's good.
Very that.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I love that.
So that was also, it's always same with you, right? About like the connection. How is it making the people around us feel?
Yes.
How is it making us feel? And that's honestly what you were touching on before about comedy. Well, my next question is a little different. You obviously have big dreams. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, how do you deal with the fear of the flip side of having big dreams is mm-hmm. always the fear of them not happening.
Yes.
So how do you grapple with that? Do you not grapple with that? How does that work?
I mean, I think on the outside, I try and make it look like I'm not grappling with that, but I also think, like, I actually just got off a call with someone literally right before this interview, and we were talking, and she was like, I was like, because I just asked her, I was like, oh, are you ever going to go to university? Because she's an incredible actress. Mm-hmm. She was, like, worked on some awesome shows, and I called her, and I was like, would you ever consider, like, going to university? And she's like, no. I'm like, why not? And she's like, well, because if I don't give my all into plan A and I have a plan B, I'm never allowing myself to give in to allow that to allow mm-hmm. that dream to happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so – she worded it way better than I just did. But
I get the gist. I don't – sorry, that's not an encouraging thing to say.
I got the words that you said. But no, but the idea that, like, if you always have something to fall back on, you're never going to go 100% into the thing that you want to do. And mm-hmm. I think for me, like, yes, I have university. Yes, I have school. Like, we're both – everyone's here and everyone has dreams outside of this, like, campus. But for me, I think I just try and focus on – like, I don't really want to give myself, like, a backup option for those dreams not to come true. Because I know regardless of the scale of what I want to be doing, I know I want to be doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, writing, directing, creating. I want to be creating. What form that takes doesn't matter as long as I'm being artistically fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So the dreams are obviously, like, to be able to just continue doing this.
Amazing. Well, Shaq, thank you so much for joining us. For the ones of listeners, Shaq has directed and written an absolutely unbelievable short film called Imran and Ali Khan.
Yes.
And it is premiering at the Crazy 8 Short Film Festival on May 7th. I am so excited to see it. He's an incredible writer. So everyone, one, emphasis on the one.
Everyone.
Please go check it out because it's going to be amazing. Also, the Crazy 8 Festival is just like, Vancouver is so lucky to host something like that where we're like nurturing all these young creators. So I can't wait to see it. And I can't wait for all of you to see it.
I can't wait for you, Sarah Silverman, to come watch this incredible show. It's
bring
good.
Your rabbi sister. My dad would love to meet her.
Wait, what if Sarah Silverman actually came to the Crazy Hits Gala?
Should we DM her?
Low key. You know, actually, okay, I don't know how much time we have. I DM'd a bunch of celebrities to come be in my Crazy Hits film. No one got back to me. But my casting director was just like, just DM them and see what they say.
I mean, go for it, right?
You might as well shoot your shot.
Yeah. We're signing off. Next up, we have correspondent Naomi speaking with Dr. Felicity Clufman. So stay tuned. We will be right back after this break.
I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love.
Ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Me.
back to Not My First Schmodio. I'm a correspondent, Naomi, and this is Oh Schmo You Don't segment, where we interview some temporary non-schmoes who are an expert in their field. Today, we have Dr. Felicity Kluffman, who is here to talk about her new book, Tom Hankulus, Our Neurological Response to Tom Hanks. Hello, Dr. Kluffman, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Dr. Kluffman, ever since I read your book, I have been dying to have you on the show. Can you explain to listeners what your book is about?
Of course. So my book is about a part of the brain that I discovered that is only activated while observing Tom Hanks. For years, you know, there's been a public conversation and on some level a joke about how universally beloved Tom Hanks is. And through our research, we've discovered that there is a specific part of the brain that can actually only be activated by one thing, Tom Hanks.
Now, for the listeners, I've read the book, but what do you call this new discovery?
We call it the Tom Hankulus.
The Tom Hankulus. Now, where is it located in the brain?
It's located in our higher social brain. This is also known as the ventral vagal complex. This is the part of the brain that creates the feeling of safety when in close proximity to others. Evolution led to a modified and more complex brainstem, which is activated when we hear a soothing voice or see a smiling or relaxed face and notice calm gestures. These signs become our social safety cues. Tom Hanks makes people feel safe, comfortable, and like they're participating in something familiar. Yeah, so the ventral vagal complex is typically activated when a grandmother you like hugs you or you hear a funny story about unlikely animal friends. You know, it was very interesting in our research to see an even smaller portion of the complex activated independent from the rest just by viewing Tom Hanks.
And how did you discover the Tom Hankulus?
Well, I'm a neurologist at Vancouver General Hospital, and a few years ago, a man came in who had just had a stroke. I did standard brain scans on him, and his scans indicated that he indeed experienced a stroke, except there was something a bit different about these scans that I found a little odd. There was an extremely small part of the ventral vagal complex that was activated that I had never seen activated without the entire complex being activated as well. I asked the patient's family, and it turned out that when the stroke had occurred, he'd been watching Turner and Hooch, the classic Tom Hanks movie about an uptight by-the-book policeman and the dog who melts his heart. I've become very familiar with Tom Hanks's work over the course of this study.
I'm sure you have. So, in the book, you write a lot about how this discovery led to research trials that sought to understand this part of the brain. Can you tell us about those research trials?
Yes, well, we conducted tests by showing people clips of Tom Hanks, scanning their brains at the same time, and also asked them to write down how they felt while watching him. Every time a subject saw Tom Hanks on their screen, their Tom Hankulus was activated, whether it was him being himself or him as a character. And actually, an unprecedented 100% reported feelings of safety, comfort, and familiarity.
Well, Tom Hanks will do that. This part of the brain only lit up for Tom Hanks?
Yes, that is correct. You know, it's interesting. We thought maybe there were other celebrities who could elicit the same response. So we tested Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, and just to check, an adult golden retriever. Meryl, Denzel, and the adult golden retriever were mathematically the closest to Tom Hanks in terms of broad likability, yet Tom Hankulus could not be activated. For the written portion of the Denzel experiment, the subjects wrote, quote, "too edgy, too urban, and he will steal my wife." And when we tested Meryl Streep, respondents mainly said, "too much talking, too pointy, and I don't like that girl."
What do you think this all says about human beings?
Well, I think it says that perhaps we as a species have always needed a Tom Hanks. A specific part of the brain signals that this need is evolutionary. Something in our past resembled a Tom Hanks-like figure. More research is needed to understand why this part of the brain exists and why it develops.
Truly fascinating. So, where do we go from here? What will or what should be done with this information?
Well, sadly, those are two very different questions, you see. What should be done is not what will be done. What should be done is more research into this part of the brain to see what else it tells us about the human species. We have only conducted one experiment, but besides our work, this is an untouched and unexamined part of the brain. It may unlock new secrets about how our social brains work. But how it will be used is a much more dangerous reality.
Dangerous how?
Well, Tom Hanks can be exploited in the world of entertainment. He has been used as a box office draw and has had some sponsorship deals with brands. However, this evolutionary response to Tom Hanks is much more powerful than regular celebrity-like ability.
How would you foresee him being exploited, as you say?
Well, right now my main concern is probably cloning.
Cloning?
Cloning, yes, cloning.
You're worried that Tom Hanks will be cloned.
Well, if catered to in the right ways, the Tom Hankulus could be used to create a warm affinity for any product that Tom Hanks sells. But Tom Hanks can't sell every product, so Tom Hanks' clones will be needed to make the most money possible.
Hmm.
I'm not sure that this is going to happen, but there is a very good chance that it will down the line. We just don't know yet how powerful the Tom Hankulus is, and that's what makes it so dangerous to the public and, of course, to Tom Hanks.
So, with it being so dangerous, why did you release the study?
I did wrestle with whether or not to release the information, but ultimately I decided that it was too scientifically significant not to share. That being said, there were discussions of the risks before we published, for Tom Hanks, but also concerns for mass control of the public.
I understand the risk to Tom, cloning and all. But what do you mean by mass control?
Well, the research is still so sparse, but if one man can create the same emotion in every human, then that emotion could be manipulated and controlled. Therefore, humans can be controlled.
This is something I don't quite remember reading about in the book. Who would be doing such a thing?
Government agencies, corporations, anyone really who had enough time and money on their hands.
Oh my God. That seems like we should get into the implications of this a bit more. Are we all vulnerable to...
Naomi, I would love to when it comes to my research. I could talk your ear off, but unfortunately my assistant is giving me the signal and I need to wrap this up.
Wait, Dr. Kaufman... Is any legislation being put in place to protect us? I mean, Tom Hanks, surely this is a cute, you know, term more than anything, Tom Hankulus, right? Are we in danger?
Well, thank you for having me. If you have any more questions, feel free to send me an email. I'll respond to you in 4 to 7 business days. Thank you so much for having me. Bye now.
Well, thanks to Dr. Kluffman for her time. She'll be appearing on The Ellen Show tomorrow with a fun guest surprise. Her book, Tom Hankulus, The Neurological Response to Tom Hanks, is out now.
That's right. Thank you.
You will not... You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and drop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and Skip. Skip out for beers during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
The revolution.
The revolution is going to be.
Poets, writers, we got the people behind us. We can change the world. You can change the world. Artists, poets, writers, we got the people behind us. We can change the world. You can change the world. Revolution will not be. be televised. The revolution will not show you pictures of influencers popping bottles or living that life. The revolution will not come in a purple cup and arrive on a white horse. The revolution won't make you lose 21 pounds in 21 days. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, my brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hi there. You're listening to CADR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Not My First Shmodio. I'm your host, Ruby, and I have with me here my friend Naomi, who's actually a correspondent and interviewed Dr. Felicity Kluffman. What a riveting interview. The brain is so complicated.
I know. So honored.
Yeah, and
to discuss that with her.
And you read her whole book, and she
couldn't put it down.
She's going on Ellen.
I can't wait to hear who the surprise guest is.
I know. I wonder who it's going to be.
Yeah, on the edge of my seat over here.
Yeah. I also can't wait for her next book.
I know. Hopefully there's a little bit more about, you know,
the social aspect of all of this.
The frightening aspect.
Yeah, I think maybe if she gets a sociologist involved. Then
would love that.
Would love that. Yeah. Well, this is the part of the show where we talk about our shmoments. We don't have a theme song yet, but it'll probably sound something like that.
In the works.
Slap that bass. All right. So, Naomi, just for the listeners, I'm once again going to describe what a shmoment is.
Please.
So a shmo is a Yiddish term for kind of just like a regular, average, nothing special person, right? So a shmoment to me is basically a moment where you're embarrassing yourself. And it's one of the most human things you can do. Therefore, it's one of the most schmoey things you can do. Because everyone embarrasses themselves. And those moments are called schmoments. The thing that can happen to anyone. And the things that do happen to everyone. So I want you to share with me your schmoments.
Would love to do so.
Thank you.
I think the shmoment I recently had is hopefully absolutely raw, real, and relatable to everyone out there. I work in customer service, dream come true, living my dream. And I think we can all agree that despite all the absolute vital benefits that masks bring us in this life and plexiglass, the works,
we love it,
how much they've helped us in the past couple years, they truly can provide some communication difficulties. And for me personally, in the hustle and bustle of working in customer service, sometimes I don't quite catch what someone says, but I'll just sort of guess.
Yeah.
I think this is relatable to a lot of us.
Totally.
At the grocery store, whether you're on either side of the till, those kind of short conversations where you want to show someone, you know, I'm interested in your day. How's it going? You don't really hear what they say.
Yeah.
You sort of just say, no, I don't want my receipt back to them.
Yeah.
It's a whole little fun dance we do with each other. So I was working my customer service job behind the till in this instance.
Yeah.
And I decided to, you know, strike up a convo.
Okay, cool.
With a dear customer. And I perceive him as having asked me, how's your day going?
Right.
And so I start talking about my day. Quiet. So I start saying, you know, it's sunny out there. Gosh darn it, I want to be outside. You know, this job's great, and the food sure is delicious. But, you know, it's just one of those days. By the look on his face, mask up, I can tell pretty quickly he didn't ask how my day was going.
Oh,
no. He actually would love to speed things along. And he looks at me square in the face, and he says, I said, can I have my receipt? And I go, I'm sorry. Of course. And he shuffles out, not another eye contact made.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's because I'm behind the mic. I'm just this kind of person. I thought he might wonder how my day was going.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him the same. Just one of those times where... Yeah. That's not what he was asking.
But also, like, that's so rude for him to be like, if it was me, I'd just be like, oh, yeah, that's what I asked you, and let's have a little conversation. But for him to, like, that embarrasses everyone in that situation. Like, it makes him more uncomfortable to acknowledge that that's not what he asked. So if anything, I'm like, that's bad decision making. What other bad decisions is this person making?
I think in both scenarios, it's humiliating because either... He just sort of quietly pretends he asked. And in the other, he's like, to be honest with you, ma'am.
I don't care about.
I didn't request this information. Either way, I felt pretty raw, real, relatable.
Yeah.
I felt pretty humbled and regular.
Those are the most human moments. Or when you don't hear what someone says and you go, yeah. And they've just asked you something really embarrassing, and they're like, well, you don't support the Nazi party. And you're like, actually, yeah. You know, and you don't hear them.
That's a specific one. Can't say I've... that would be particularly bad.
Yeah, that one probably would be. But the point is, it's human moments like this that bring us all together. Because after all, we're just a world full of schmoes.
Absolutely.
I'm a schmo, you're a schmo, everywhere a schmo.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I'm so glad. All right. And I think, did you have another schmo story?
Well, frankly, Ruby, I have too many.
Okay.
would you like to hear?
I'd like to hear another one if you have the time. I know you're real busy out there in the schmoverse.
I'm so busy telling people who haven't asked how my day is going. let me think here. Well, okay. A frighteningly similar story, because this happens too much to me, is that I almost kind of crashed my bike the other day. And in these moments, I want to be self-deprecating. I want to look to the person who's witnessing me fall.
You want to embrace your schmo with a fellow schmo and bask in the schmoment.
You want to bask. You want to kind of look to camera and be like, am I right? And so I was just sort of biking right into one of those poles that tells you the bus stop you're at.
Yeah.
And I go audibly, whoa! Kind of thinking, this is humorous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let myself be embarrassed.
It's embarrassing to bang into a pole of any kind.
You're telling me. And I sort of look behind me at the man who's sitting maybe 1.5 feet away at the bus stop, kind of like, am I right? After I'd just done this embarrassingly audible, well, he avoided eye contact, so...
Yeah.
That's just...
See, that to me makes no sense. Like, if I would want to be a part of a moment like that, and someone, like, you're like, whoa, hey, guy, the bus stop, isn't this hilarious? Look at me crashing into stuff. And he's like, I don't want to be a part of your life. Get out of here. Don't interact with me. And this is what's wrong with our world today.
Agreed.
I hope that through this show, this is my movement. My movement is to embrace the schmo.
Revolutionary. You know, years from now, something like this will happen.
I love any sentence that starts with, you know, years from now.
Just to be prophetic for a moment.
Please.
Years from now, I would be in the same situation. I'd turn to someone and they'd go, absolute schmoment.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Can't wait for that day.
I can't wait for that day.
Can't come soon enough.
Truly. And I hope that my message gets across not just Vancouver, but all of Canada, all of the world.
I'm live tweeting this, so
okay, good.
I'm gonna make sure it gets out. I need to hear a schmoment from you.
Yeah, so every week I'm going to share a schmoment of mine. This happened this week. I got a haircut. And I was really excited about this haircut.
Thank you.
I'm going to get some side bangs, but they cut it really short and with layers. And so I was really embarrassed about this haircut. I was like, oh my God, I look like a little boy and I don't identify as a little boy. I don't want to, you know, I just didn't like it. So it was the day before I got my period. So I started hysterically crying, like melting down, right? I think we all have. It's what connects us. And I decided that I want to send a picture to my mom because even though I'm having a full-on meltdown, I haven't lost my sense of humor and I understand how ridiculous it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I decide that I'm going to take a picture of myself lying down and I look at it and I scroll and I'm just going to show it to you for now so you can get it. I'm sorry to the listeners.
Live in the studio. Everyone's jealous back at home.
So this is the picture.
Oh, babe. Oh, no. Oh, just to describe a little bit of what's going on, puffy tears, two words. Yeah, it's like a live photo, which also brings things to the next
level. So it's a live
photo,
so when you scroll, you can see me like heaving as I cry. Ooh. And then if you press the live photo, you can see me sort of like crying and then stopping to like go look at my camera roll.
Oh.
And I just want to see if we can hear it through the thing.
Oh, little sob there.
So you can hear the little sob and then it quiets down because I want to go look at the photo that I just took. Again. It quiets down.
I think that's honestly a common characteristic of the modern social media user. After every Instagram reel or every TikTok, I want to see the clip of someone stopping their little dance
yeah.
and moving
towards
pulling
their
phone.
Pulling it up to
yeah.
their face. Yeah, and that's what
Can
it was.
Can we get some more of that?
And this isn't like, some people take like cute, pretty crying pictures. I was fully
Couldn't
lying
be.
On my back. My face has smushed into my neck and my face is so red. And it fully is just for me and no one else was there. So it's not like anyone could witness me embarrassing
well,
myself.
Well, now it's for everyone.
Well, now it's for everyone. But at the time, I was like, I feel like this is even too embarrassing to do in my own presence because it's so self-indulgent and it's so ridiculous that it was really my true moment of the week. And I've been telling everyone, strangers on the street, the bus driver, I've been telling everyone this story and showing everyone that picture because I'm trying to embrace the schmo.
I would only warn you that when you tell them, make sure that they weren't just asking for their receipt. Otherwise, I think it's good. Be raw. Be real.
Be raw. Be real. Make sure they weren't just asking for their receipt. And on that yeah. note, this concludes the first episode of Not My First Schmodio. Thank you so much, Naomi, for my being a correspondent on the show and for sharing so openly about
your
moments.
It was a joy. Can't wait to hear what we've got in store.
Me too. All right. Bye.
I seldom walk, I always run. Through visions I keep to myself. Days for
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, who must we must stay.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections is every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
Join rock sensations Me Without You as they bid farewell at the Hollywood Theater on May 18th. Visit hollywoodtheater.ca for more information.
One day ahead, one day behind, begging you to turn me into clear light. My voices sing those songs quieter than silent night. If the world is just an idea, heads, close my eyes, forget about it. If the world is just an idea, heads, close my eyes, forget about it.
All my loved ones, they're gone, but they didn't love me back anyway. This morning until night, trying to get it back to every other day.
If the world is just an idea, my head, close my eyes, forget about it. If the world is just an idea, my head, close my eyes, forget about it. Oh, I'll tell you. Just more spiral. If the world is just an idea, my head, close my eyes, forget about it. If the world is just an idea, my head, close my eyes, forget about it. Oh, I'll tell you. Just one spiral. I'll tell you what I learned after a while. Sometimes at the bottom of a spiral is just one spiral.
Yeah. cemetery, residential military.
She see me work on my vertical growth. She see my journey and hurting for dough. She looked me up, said she heard of me before. She found a vibe that she listened to. Make a dance with no top in the living room. She a fan and she watch all my interviews. Now she hang by the ball when I'm in the room. Man, I make myself way too accessible. I'm just hugging the fan, won't let go of my hand. And she say that I'm way too incredible. I can see that she making it sexual. Initially, I'm going for it. She fired the combo flowing, and I know she admired me. Little did I know that shorty was trying me. Asked if I'm open to privacy. She got a secret in her eyes like a something that she concealing. No, she hot it. But we ain't equal in her mind. I don't even see the demon that's inside her. She full of deceit. Her man in the crowd while I got her backstage, and she all in my ear saying, pull up on me. I'm peeping the play. He looking for her while she looking for me. Look, I only shoulda, coulda, woulda, bitches. Imagine she could be fucking with my riches. You bound to be stood up, can't fuck up my business. I want you tonight, but I don't want the digits. I know you look fly and I was kinda smitten, but moving twice shy cause I was already bitten. Look at you burning all these fucking bridges. I see you hurting, I ain't even with it. Could've been you. Said it could've been you. It could've been you. Could've been you, could've been you, And I can see what's on your mind, fine, what you gon' suggest. Wanna ride or a little time or a little sex? You a lie, you a little fly, sitting on the desk. You a crime, you on demon time, I'ma never text. You,
It could've been you, it could've been me. I done got off my ass, I ain't going for weeks. When I jumped out the porch, I ain't going for weeks. Had to run me a bag, I want Patek Philippe's. I want a Rollie and brand new APs. And I dropped out of school cause it wasn't for me. I was getting them racks, I was flipping them peas. Bitch, I feel like Tony, I ain't only trust me. I don't pop with them niggas, I'm just running the figures. Yeah, I ball like the Knicks. I go out in the ass for a flick. I feel like I made it, I ain't even rich. When you go up and make it, they see you switch. All them bridges, I burn them, I don't give a shit. It was me and my dog, 100 racks, so we split. It was me and Javier, 100 racks in the VIP. I show the kids, so I pull up in spaceship. Gucci, Prada, I'm in the latest. My shit like lava, your shit outdated. I feel like the GOAT, I feel like the greatest. I shot at a Henny, now I'm feeling faded. No negative energy in my oasis. I show Javier, we ain't gonna play, bitch. I go purchase black diamonds, but I'm not a racist. You didn't believe in me, but I forgive you, your family. If I eat you, go eat you, my family. It could've been me, but I chose us. McLaren, the coupe with the doors up. I go through pain, I just pull up. Yeah, this life give me cold heart.
Could've been you. Said it could've been you. It could've been you. It could've been you. Could've been. Suggest. Wanna ride or a little time or a little sex? You a lie, you a little fly, sitting on the desk. You a crime, you on demon time, I'ma never text. You
Yeah! Everybody Is In provides relief to the COVID-19 crisis by delivering goods and services to residents of the downtown East Side. And we need donations. Right now, we are looking for protective personal equipment, sanitation supplies, non-perishable food,